Now, as supervisors, as leaders, our job is to make the most out of that time that we have. You know, 39 days a year right. with a traditional guardsman is not a lot of time.
No.
Right? So when we do things, they need to be important and impactful. You know, is it legal? Is it the right thing to do? Is it going to be safe? And are we going to, what are we going to learn from it? So if you can kind of gauge some things and take some risk in a training environment, test it out before we got to go to war.
Welcome back, Black Snakes, to another podcast on Black Snake Bites. Your host today, Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser, First Sergeant for the Maintenance Squadron. And on air with us today is maybe a guy most of you know. And if you don't know, well, you're about to find out, but I bet a lot of us still miss him. He actually went on to the state and just opened up for us for NCO immersion. And that was an honor and treat to get to hear him speak again. Been in for 32 years, living the legacy from his pops, and never on his plan to make chief, let alone state command chief. So without further ado, Chief Dixon, welcome to the show.
All right. Thanks so much, Sergeant Kaiser. It is very exciting. It's always great to be back home. Fort Wayne was my home for just about 30 years. So to be here today and to get to talk to the Black Snake community is quite an honor, and I look forward to the conversation with you.
Yeah, and just a quick shout out. This is your first podcast interview, right?
This is, and nice. I'm no Joe Rogan, so.
We'll make do. Man, let's just jump in it. So, Chief, what's it like to be State Command Chief?
Well, I tell you what, it's a different level of chief in the aspect that you think about the chief being about the people, right? So I get to go out and I get to see a vast diversity of airmen. So between the two wings and state headquarters and the Army counterparts, the interactions are just awesome. So that's what I guess kind of keeps me going. You know, you get up at 4 a.m.
Right.
And drive down to Indianapolis for the weekend. You're away from home. What drives you? It's got to be the people. So yeah. It's pretty fun.
Would you say Fort Wayne is still your favorite? Or can you say anymore?
Fort Wayne will always be in my heart, right?
I like it.
You know, I'm wearing some Black Snake morale patches.
You got some
today.
Swag on?
Absolutely, you know. But I also, you know, have the 181st morale patches. I'll wear them when I'm at their base too.
That's
but
awesome.
Yeah, it's outstanding. And there's a lot of synergies between the two wings. That's probably one of the most exciting things is to see the differences, but the similarities, right? We're all about the mission.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're at a senior enlisted level position, it's about the people, right?
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
So 32 years, you didn't think you'd be chief, let alone state command chief. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I tell you, I joined, my father was a weapons loader here at the 122nd. You know, came out here as a kid, seeing airplanes. It's so exciting to see airplanes, loud noise, right? It was F-4s back then. He'd take me around the hangar, get to see that stuff. And just always had an affection for it. Got into high school, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I was going to go to college, but this was just kind of drew me in. Spent about 25 years in the aircraft maintenance.
Right.
Was in weapons back shop, weapons load. Moved on and did quite a few different things within the maintenance area, you know, continued to make connections across the wing, and was fortunate enough to be the wing, you know, leave here as the wing command chief, and that was such an honor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was happy if I would have made it to 20 years in a master sergeant. That was always the goal.
Right, mine too, yeah.
20 in a master and everything else, it's been icing on the cake.
Right, that's cool. What kept you motivated in those other enlisted ranks?
Well, you know, it varied from different times, right? So, you know, everybody goes through those times in their career. So you're trying to, I've always been a drill status guardsman too. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, I always had to balance what that career ambition was outside of the fence line and inside, right? Okay. So, and I had great supervisors. You know, there was a couple of years where my civilian job, it had to take precedent, right? And they supported me, and that actually motivated me, right? They cared enough to give me that opportunity. Moving forward, as that balance shifted and the expectations or the opportunities here at the wing became more important, mm-hmm. having that relationship with my civilian employer to say, hey, look, when I took the wing command chief job, I sat down with my boss and I said, look, I'm going to be gone a lot.
Yeah.
So before I actually like put in for this, you need to understand, like, I may be close to a part-time employee for a little bit. Right. And they've been through deployments and seen those types of things. But I think it's important for that connection between them, because without that support, there's no way a drill status guardsman can accomplish they need to do as a wing command chief.
I think too, we had a conversation and you mentioned submitting your employers for the different perks that we offer them at the wing, from boss's day to doing airlifts. And I think I remember you saying you submitted like every boss you could have, and you were getting down to like, hey, can I submit this person? And they're like, no, chief. You tried to do a little bit for everyone.
Absolutely. You know, hey, one thing, I'll give a shout out to my employer that they came out on multiple of our air shows and helped us put up snow fencing.
Wow.
Right? So I don't know if everybody knows that.
That's a terrible job.
They didn't need
that parking.
They didn't need us the last air show, but we're going to volunteer again for this air show. If they if the wing needs us, we'll come out and do that. The boss lift, great event. It didn't happen last year. I know we're trying to get it back on for this year. Mm-hmm. But the ESGR, the employer support of the Guard and Reserve, such a good program. You nominate your employer. They get a plaque. You get to present it to them, and it just shows the appreciation, because again, a drill status guardsman is also asking for that support,
right?
On a every month basis, yeah. from their employer.
Yeah, especially when we go through conversion and they need those filled training days, those FTT days, and they're gone for months at a time. And that communication is huge for them. Just tell them what we're doing. They're just as curious and interested, I think. So with that, what kept you motivated? What advice would you give, or what advice do you wish you would have known sooner at this level in your career?
Sorry for the long pause there. you know, that's a tough one. So I wouldn't say it was advice I wish I knew. Maybe advice I wish I would have taken, right? So, you know, I had some really good chiefs growing up, Chief Salway in particular, you know, tried to give me nuggets along the way of, hey, you should probably – it's okay to go do something else other than weapons, right?
Yeah.
It's okay to maybe cross train or do something different. And that would have probably prepared me better for that wing command chief role. You know, Chief Hoop will probably remember this conversation. He moved down to, he was in FSS, and he was pretty much really close to being the chief. I think he was in that selection process. And I said, look, man, you and I, we're going to spend a lot of time together. Because my weakness is FSS side, right? Mm-hmm. I don't understand a lot of that world, and I'm going to need you. I'm going to lean on you to ask you questions, and we're going to talk a lot. And I think it worked out pretty well. And I guess that piece is know your limitations,
right?
And then surround yourself with people that can support you. You know, you have your strengths, they have their strengths, and if you work together, success.
Hopefully cover the bases. So for being a state command chief, how does that compare from when you were the Fort Wayne command chief moving down to state?
Well, it's different. It's a smaller staff, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, drill looks quite a bit different. So we're working on more big picture strategic things. You know, we're set up as an A staff. I know that at the wing level, that's becoming new terminology. But so we, you know, so like the personnel side is the A1, right? So I spent a lot of time in that world. And I think it's important to think about, we have directorate heads that work on different things. So, we're always looking at what's next for the state of Indiana, right? So future missions, you know, base modernization, the F-16 conversion, new missions at Terre Haute, all of those things are what we work on a regular basis. We're also engaged with the state partnership programs, which those are, you know, that's a very exciting and rewarding opportunity. If any airmen out there that are listening have an interest or get the opportunity, jump in, because that's very rewarding.
So to piggyback off that, what is actually happening at the state level that maybe you can help shed some light on and just give us a strategic level view what you guys do there?
So I think, you know, I think about it like we're somewhat of a filter, right? Mm-hmm. So there's all, you know, General C.Q. Brown said, you know, one of his things was to reduce bureaucracy, right? So, you know, let's just be honest. The Air Force is a bureaucracy. We're a part of that, right? And in my opinion, I think that our job is to funnel some of that noise and take some things off the plates of the wings, right? So, you know, the planning for future missions, those types of things are really important. But you've also got a mission here,
right?
Engagement with CODELS in a partnership with the wings is huge, right? We have to have that support from the community, to grow our force and to be successful in the future. So those are some of the things we work on. We also work on some strategic planning with people, right? I'm going to keep going back to people because that's really what it's about, right? So recruiting, retention, all those things are extremely important, and we work on those at the state headquarters on a regular basis. And but we also look at succession planning, right? So, you know, executive force management is something that we do. And that's not something that's scary. It's not like, hey, you know, I don't like that guy, we're going to get rid of him, or that gal. It's about finding the right people for the future, right? Getting them the opportunities to develop and grow and be those future leaders that we need.
Right. We're not around forever.
No, yeah. No. Everybody's time is, you know, everybody's replaceable.
Yeah.
Myself, I'm replaceable. If I walk out tomorrow, somebody's going to step up and probably do a hell of a better job than I do.
I like Colonel Wagner calls it the runaway bus. If the bus runs away, runs over you, someone's got to pick up the pieces.
Absolutely.
I like that. Something looking back on your career, what is something looking back on your career that has made a difference in your life or someone else's?
Well, I tell you, I think I talked to it a little bit about the immersion course was just having a really good mentor early in my career. So, and I'll, you know, mention his name, Master Sergeant Mike Benzinger, retired, was somebody that he set a standard within our shop of excellence, right? And I'll give you an example of, we sent aircraft equipment out when the F-16s left Fort Wayne.
The first time.
And we sent equipment out that was going to the boneyard that was better than some of the stuff that's in active service. Like
wow.
That, of that's course, that's our opinion. But,
right.
You know, and we continue to build upon that standard that Mike Benzinger set. But he also took the time to make sure that we understood our jobs and we understood how important it was, because if it hits the fan, we've got to rely on that equipment.
Right.
You know, so the importance and the why He also took the time to explain that and make sure that we understood it and, you know, had a good plan for us to learn and train.
Yeah, I appreciate how he approached it too, right? It sounds like it was a good approach that you would hear it too, right? Part of being taught is it being received too. And it sounds like he did a good job doing that.
Yeah. Oh, what a, you know. Great people leave an impact on you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as you go through your career, you get to see all these different people. And, you know, I wouldn't do it that way. But man, you know, if I ever get the chance, I'm going to emulate, I'm going to follow that lead.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
Try to take away the good.
Yeah. You'll have to send them this episode.
There you go.
Nice shout out. Can you elaborate to maybe seasoned members or new members what the difference in downsizing is from your state perspective, and what when all we hear is downsizing or doing less with more, and we're what does that look like? How do we still maintain a lethal force when it feels like we're still downsizing or we don't have enough manpower?
So I'll relate it to the civilian world too, right? So, you know, in my civilian job, we've gone through multiple downsizings, and it's, you know, it's uncomfortable.
Right.
You're asked to do more. There's typically no offset for that, whether it's financially or,
comp time
yeah. or whatnot. But the connection to your employer is important, right? So now take that to us. Our connection to the mission is important. Now, as supervisors, as leaders, our job is to make the most out of that time that we have. You know, 39 days a year
right.
with a traditional guardsman is not a lot of time.
No.
Right? So when we do things, they need to be important and impactful, right? And they need to be as abbreviated as they can be, right? And we've got to empower our folks, right? I think it's important to be able to take some risk, right? So I guess my rule of thumbs would be, you know, is it legal? Is it the right thing to do? Is it going to be safe? And what are we going to learn from it? So if you can kind of gauge some things and take some risk in a training environment, test it out before we got to go to war.
Yeah.
Because in the end, we're trying to build warrior airmen, right? And that mentality is something that that we have to focus on. I don't know that I can really answer your question on the downsizing piece because, you know, manning numbers are going to fluctuate. You know, we just went through full-time force leveling. Indiana actually sat pretty well on that.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. We did. Which shows that we were already doing less or more with less.
Right.
On the flip side, you know, there's an enlisted grades review. We don't know how that's going to shake out. Our A1 staff, we pulled some stats. I think we're sitting pretty good compared to the rest of the force. But those things are always going to happen, and that change is always going to happen. Preparing ourselves to continue on that with that mental attitude of the warrior mentality.
Yeah.
That's the piece. Because we're going to face adversity. We're in the military. That's what we do. Adversity is what we train for.
May as well embrace it. It's going to happen. Thank you for expanding on that. I don't think it's a secret. Moving into the next question. I don't think it's a secret. Indiana's got some bonuses floating around there.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we're talking about it a lot here to the point where I don't hit the time mark, but I was like, if I were to go back and I could, it just made me think, like, what if you had that much money coming to you? What would you do?
Well, I tell you what, financially is a great time to enlist or continue your career if you're on the fence, right? Because some of the bonuses are in the $60,000 to $90,000 range for
they're
enlisted.
Significant.
It's huge,
right?
And then some of the officer ones are massive too. So yeah, it's a pretty awesome time to capitalize and literally capitalize
on
that career investment.
What would you do with a bonus like that? try and help our future receivers
guide
them.
What would I do with it? Oh, you know, first off, you know, I'd have
not buy the car.
Oh, dang it. Okay. No, you know, look, as a young person, if I could have gone back, so, I had a couple of reenlistment bonuses. I think the top one I ever got was like 20 grand, right? So, which was great.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
It's a good chunk of cash. At that point in time, I think I probably just paid off some debt.
Right.
Right? So, pay off some debt, set some of it aside. If you could, right? That'd be the thing, because you know, as you grow your financial wealth, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
So maybe don't count on that money. Put it aside for the future.
Put it where you can't get to it.
To save for that truck,
right?
Or that tractor.
Yeah.
You know?
Go talk to Kevin, our financial guy, or ask your supervisor, what would you do with this money?
Absolutely.
I was telling my daughter that. She's 15, and every once in a while, I think she'll just try and make mom happy and say she's going to enlist or something. But I was like, well, if you enlist and this money's out there, and she's like, wants to go on a shopping spree. So I try and help with that. I'm like, okay, you can shop, but we're going to save too.
Right.
So in closing with this, just Mike DeLeslie, how do you stay connected with all of us? You're busy. You're traveling a lot, from that filter to helping us get in focus in our own respective wings. How do you stay connected?
Well, I'd say, you know, on a weekly basis, one thing that I hope people realize is that the three command chiefs in the state, we get along pretty good, and we work pretty well as a team. And we have a weekly connection that we talk about what's going on at the wings, how can we do this, what is state headquarters missing. You know, that is a connection point. Being at the wings is really my connection point. So I was talking to Chief Hoop the other day on our call, and I'm like, man, it was Wednesday. So Wednesday was gorgeous. I'm
right.
Like, Chief, man, you got to get out there and go walk on that fly line and recharge, right? There's nothing better to Mike Dixon than walking on that flight line, you know, looking at airplanes and, you know, feeling that wind, smelling some jet fuel.
That's right.
That gets me pumped. So that's, you know, kind of my connection point, is the mission, right? And I say that because that was my mission, right? For a couple of decades, that's where I lived and I loved it.
Yeah.
But as far as connecting with me, I tell you what, if you're in the global, my cell phone is tied to my email address and you pick up the phone and you call me anytime.
Yeah.
So, and I look forward to that.
I know. Sometimes I'll send you a random text and I feel like I can hear the smile on the other side just checking in, right? Chief, thanks for still hiring me. I hope I'm not letting you down up at state.
I tell you what, you know, I got to sit on a couple of interviews. It's actually an honor to sit on the other side of the table, right, and be interviewed by you. Got to sit on a couple interviews for you, and I love the passion that you bring to the wing and to the First Sergeant Council. You know, I see so much out of you, and that was a great hire. I'm going to pat myself on the back right now.
Well, I don't know if you should yet, and I might edit that out, but thank you. Any shout outs you want to give to family or friends? I mean, first podcast, you may as well.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, keeping things in perspective, you know, that family is really important, right? So, you know, we talk about accomplishments and so forth, that none of that happens without them. And it's a lot of fun, you know. We're getting to celebrate Colonel Westby's promotion tomorrow, and my wife's going to come down for it.
That's awesome.
You know, she was also one of those people that, you know, maybe when I was wing chief, I might have volunteered her for a few things because she's awesome. But she was also my boss back not really that long ago. So I think it's important that we celebrate those people's accomplishments and we're there for them.
Yeah.
That is really what it's about, you know, God, family, country.
I like it. Thank you for that. Chief, again, thank you for your time today, giving us a snapshot of what other opportunities are out there, getting to hear your story. and just how we can get involved. Team, please share the show. We want this to be the fastest growing military podcast out there. And it's because of people like you listening and sharing. So until next time, storm hell.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.